Tonight, Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, but we're only going to focus on the first four verses to start with. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We'll just continue on reading. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be in the Lord's house, gathered together with your people. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts tonight, that you would guide us according to your will. Father, it seems like we're in Philippians a lot lately, and Lord, there's just a lot of truth. There's a lot of gold to be found and dug up, gold nuggets, I guess, in the Word of God, in the book of Philippians. And Father, we just ask that you would guide us, and Lord, that you would draw our hearts and minds to you tonight. And Father, we do want to hear from heaven. Father, I want you to speak to our hearts and guide us according to your will. I thank you, Father, for just the glimpse of heaven that we have, that, Lord, it should help encourage us to keep moving forward in our life. It should encourage us that the world we live in is not the end. It's unfortunately, some people believe this is it. But Lord, I thank you that we have something to look forward to. We have a bright future with our Lord and Savior in eternity. And Father, we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you would please speak to our hearts tonight according to your will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about rejoicing while standing. Rejoicing while standing is, again, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he wants to encourage them in their stand, to stand fast in the Lord. He's going to encourage them in their dealings with one another, exhorting them to unity and helpfulness as they are a unified body of believers, as they try to help each other to remain faithful in the Lord, to continue serving the Lord, to keep moving forward for the Lord, regardless of the pure persecution that comes against them. And while they're doing all that, standing fast and exhorting one another and encouraging one another and helping one another, he wants them to do it in joy, rejoicing always, because there's a greater joy that's in us, given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that will help us remain faithful to the Lord. Again, there are many things that we can rejoice in. There's probably many things that bring you joy in your life, whether it's, you know, spending time with family, whether it's a certain dessert. I mean, just different things that we find joy in. And obviously, the most joy we should find is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. And again, even though we live in this sin-cursed world, as we've talked about this morning, you know, Enoch had something special that you and I have as well, and that is the walk with the Lord. And while we walk with the Lord in a sin-cursed world, we can rejoice in the Lord because of the things that he has done for us, where he's leading us, the place we know he's prepared for us. As Jesus told his disciples, you know, it was expedient for him to go away. He was going to go away. He was going to prepare a place for them, that where he was, that they could be with him. And we're thankful that we will be with the Lord one day. But while we're here, we are encouraged and exhorted to stand fast in the Lord. So look at verse number 1, as he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and Paul, again, loved these believers very much. Again, everywhere he met, everywhere he went, and he saw people come to know Christ as their Savior. I mean, he had a love for them. He had a love for people in general, but there was a strong love for God's people. And honestly, there should be a strong love among God's people because we're in the family of God. We come from different backgrounds and we have different personalities, different likes and dislikes, but there should be a strong bond among God's people because we have someone who unifies us, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had a love for these people. And he said, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. He says of these believers, you're my joy and you're my crown. I mean, they brought him great joy as he could reflect back on each one of them and how each one of them became a part of his life and how he was able to see each one come to know Christ as their Savior. And honestly, it should bring us great joy knowing we're going to the house of God and we're going to see our family. We're going to see our church family. We're going to see the body of Christ. It should bring great joy. There should be such a unity among God's people that we look forward to being with God's people throughout the week. And it really should be that way. We should long to be with God's people, I'll say this, more than with the world. Now, you love your family. I love my family. But there's something special about the family of God. There's something special about the family of God, and Paul had a great love and desire for these believers. Again, therefore, my beloved brethren, or my brethren dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. He encouraged these believers to stand fast. And I encourage us, as the Word of God encourages us today, stand fast in the Lord. Again, we're living in a day and age where there is so much pressure, spiritual pressure. There's just so much anti-Christ, anti-Bible, anti-church, anti-family in this world. Just the messages that are all over through news media, social media, among people. And Paul encourages these people as we are to be encouraged and even in some way challenged to stand fast in the Lord, never wavering in your faith, never wavering in your relationship with the Lord, but standing fast, holding fast to that which you and I have been given. We've been given a wonderful relationship with an eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to a few places as we talk about standing fast in the Lord and what exactly that means. Go forward to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. And I'm just glad that we have someone who always stands with us. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always right there with us. I think I mentioned this earlier this morning. But as I even think about it now, just the fact that Jesus always stood by Peter, even though Peter would say things that were not right, and he would do things that were not right. He would make his mistakes, and yet the Lord was always right there to help him out. And that's just the love of God that he has for his children, to always help them out and to stand by them and help them get back on track. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse number 2. The Bible says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, standing fast in the Lord, helping us to be sober-minded, not to be shaken in our mind, to help us not to fear anything, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love of a sound mind, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. We need to stand fast in the Lord. Not in our minds. Our minds need to stand fast. We don't need to allow our minds to be troubled. We don't allow our minds to be shaken in the things that we hear. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. And God's people need to stand fast in the Lord and stand by the Lord and stand in the truth of his word. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 9. And really, this is something that every child of God, every born-again believer, has a purpose in their heart, is to stand fast in the Lord every day. Again, that means protecting your mind, not allowing your mind to be plagued with fear and trouble and doubts that the world wants to cast upon us and the devil wants to throw his fiery darts to cause us to think things that are contrary to the truth of God's word. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, Bob says, whom resist? And went back up, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Talked about that this morning, but again, reminding us tonight, the devil's not going to give up. He's not going to give up until he's cast into a lake of fire. He's going to continue throwing his fiery darts. He's going to continue trying to get into the minds of God's people, to cause us to doubt, to fear, to cause us to be troubled, to cause us to lose hope. Again, that's why we're to stand fast in the Lord. And standing fast in the Lord, you're standing fast upon his promises. You're standing fast upon who he is and the power and the victory that he has for us. Again, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Now, how can we resist the devil? You and I can't fight him. You and I cannot fight the devil. But we know someone who's given us the victory, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be steadfast in our faith. We're to stand fast in the Lord. My faith is built upon Jesus Christ. My faith is in Christ, who holds the keys of death and hell, who got the victory over the devil. I mean, just think about it. The day that Jesus Christ was crucified, the devil was having a heyday. He thought he had gotten the victory. Seeing Jesus scourged, seeing him nailed to the cross, I mean, the devil thinks that he thought he had the victory. He was having a party. And yet, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," the devil had lost. Jesus Christ had fulfilled the Father's will. The blood had been shed for the sins of mankind. And 3 days later, that stone is rolled away. I mean, the devil knows he is the defeated foe. But yet, if he can get into the minds of God's people and cause them to think they're defeated, then guess what? He's won. He's won in that life. And we can't allow him to win in our life. We can't allow him to have the upper hand. We got to remind ourselves that we are to be steadfast in our faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Standing fast in the Lord. Go back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Again, as Paul encourages the believers there at Philippi to stand fast in the Lord. Remember, he had to kind of rebuke the believers at Galatia by calling them foolish. He said, are you so foolish that you have so soon, you know, removed yourself from the Lord? You followed some other message out there? In Hebrews chapter 10, you look at verse 23 through 25. And the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Again, standing fast in the Lord is holding fast to your faith in Christ without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Again, standing fast, holding fast the profession of our faith, standing fast on the things that are near and dear to our hearts, the things that God has given us, and not allowing ourselves to become weak in areas and allowing ourselves to think, you know, well, some things aren't as important as other things. If it is what God's given us, it is important. I think everybody in here would agree that The Word of God is important, but how much of it? Which portions of it are important? All of it. But there will be times where the devil wants to tempt God's people, tempt us, you know, to kind of skip over things and, well, you know, that was meant for, you know, the Israelites back then. But the Bible does tell us that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and righteousness, that the man of God obviously may be furnished unto all good works. So again, when you think about standing fast in the Lord, as Paul says, he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly brethren, or my dearly beloved. Standing fast, guarding your heart, guarding your mind, staying true to the things of God that you know are true, not allowing the devil to have one inch in your mind, your heart, or your life, but standing fast in the Lord, who is faithful and who will see you through and give you the grace to endure the temptations and the afflictions that will come your way. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're admonished to finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To stand fast in the Lord is to stand in the strength of the Lord. And you and I need the strength of the Lord each day to help us to make right choices, to be faithful to our walk with the Lord, to be faithful to God's calling in our life. And God's called us, like we talked about this morning. He's called us into a relationship. Again, he doesn't call everybody to the mission field, but he calls everybody to the Great Commission, and that is sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with others. Again, therefore, stand fast in the Lord. Be purposed in your heart to stand fast in God, to remain faithful to the things of God. Go to Philippians 4, look at verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3. And all while doing all this, we can rejoice. Again, rejoice in the fact the devil is a defeated foe. We don't have to give him one inch in our life. We don't have to allow him to have any room in our life. I mean, we stand fast in the victory that Christ has given us, and we can rejoice in that. Again, I wonder sometimes, you know, why is it that sometimes we don't see as many victories in our life as we would like to? Why is it sometimes it seems like we're fighting battles, endlessly at different times? And I believe it's because our focus is wrong. I believe that we're focusing too much on the devil and not enough on the Lord. Because you know what? However the devil can get our focus off the Lord, he's fine with that. Again, you know, a bully always wants to, you know, draw someone into a fight. You know, the devil's always trying to draw God's people into a fight. He always wants them to get off focus and not be focused on the Lord. But we have to stand fast in the Lord. We have to stand fast in what we believe is true and know that the devil, you know what, again, he's a defeated foe. And even as I was thinking about this yesterday, he's a puppet on God's strings. He's a pawn in the hand of God. Now, he's been given a place, he's been given a time, but again, in the lives of God's people, he's a puppet, he's a pawn. I think too many times we think the devil, though we wouldn't say it, we think the devil's almost equal with Christ because we think we're in this battle against evil and good, when really it's the devil getting into people's minds, in God's people's minds, causing them to think things that are not true. He's a defeated foe. We got the victory. We're on the winning side. Remember, you look at the life of Job. The devil knows that there's a hedge of protection around you. Stand fast in the promise. Stand fast in the fact that, you know what? My heavenly Father has a hedge of protection around me. The devil can't do anything to me that God doesn't allow. And if God allows it, there must be a reason why God's allowing it. But we've got to remain steadfast in the truth and faith that we're on the winning side. The devil cannot just do whatever he wants in our life. God is protecting us. God's walking with us. God is guiding us. Again, in verse number 2, he says, I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Now, as Paul tells the believers to stand fast in the Lord, then in verses 2 and 3, he exhorts them to unity and helpfulness. Because he says, I beseech Herodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two were at odds. They had something between themselves, and Paul is saying, look, be in the same mind. Have the mind of Christ. Be unified. Because one thing the devil wants to do is always drive a wedge between God's people. I mean, if he can get a wedge between God's people, then guess what? It's going to quench the Holy Spirit. It's going to grieve the Holy Spirit in the work of God, in those lives. Again, the devil is just trying everything he can do to wreck the work of God in a church, to cause God's people not to be blessed and not to get along. Again, the only reason why a group of people that are coming from different backgrounds, different characteristics, different personalities, different likes and dislikes, the only reason why a group of people can get along is because of Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to drive that wedge between it. But God calls us to unity and to helpfulness. He, again, in verse 2, he wants these two to become unified in their mind that, you know what? It's not about us, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about lifting up Jesus Christ. And in verse 3, he just exhorts to helpfulness. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. We're all called to help in the ministry. We're all called to be unified. We're all called to stand fast in the Lord while we are unified and helping the gospel and helping the ministry while it helps other people. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe a lot of Christians don't understand the purpose of the ministry and don't understand the purpose of church attendance and serving in the church. And it is all for lifting up Jesus Christ. It's all for pointing people to Christ. It's for helping people to see their need in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you think about Paul writing to the church of Corinth. We know the church of Corinth had some issues, and Paul was trying to help them out. And here he states the fact, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's letting them know, I'm writing to you basically on behalf of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ would want you to do. He's saying, this is not me writing to you because I have authority over you. He's saying, I'm writing to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who's the head of the church, the one who has brought you into fellowship, the one who has given you the gift of salvation because he laid down his life for you. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Again, he wants them to have the unity and the helpfulness as they help one another. Again, you read on, again, they had an issue with someone in the church that needed to be cast out of the church because of the things that he was doing. But he wanted the church to have the mind of Christ, to be in agreement that, you know what? The church is to exhort Jesus Christ. It is to exhort and edify and magnify the things of God that are right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, living the Christian life and even serving in the ministry, serving in the church, attending church, I mean, there's always issues. There can be potential issues that arise up. But God wants us to stand fast in the Lord that, you know what, again, our life should be centered around Christ. Our life should be about
the Lord.
And again, sometimes, you know, there's hard decisions to make where you have to break fellowship with someone who's not walking with the Lord and not living right. And as the Bible teaches us, it is to bring shame upon them that they would return to Christ and turn their life around. It's never to lift ourselves up over them, but it is to lift up the Lord Christ, who is their Savior, who wants them to turn around. Again, you look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind." What is this one mind? Again, thinking the same thing, that Christ is the head of the church. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about pointing people to Christ. When you think about just even the disciples there at the beginning, where Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter and says, "Hey, we found the Christ," and Peter comes, and then the other brother goes and he gets Nathanael. He gets who's under the fig tree, or you know, he goes and gets him, and Jesus says of him, because he asks, you know, "Where do you know me from?" And Jesus says, you know, before your brother came and got you, I saw you under the fig tree. And because Jesus knew something about him that apparently nobody else knew, he said, "Thou art the Christ," because, I mean, you know. But here are these men, they were quick to go and get their brothers and bring them to Christ, but then later they're pushing people away and telling Christ, you know, "Send the people away, send them into the towns to fend for themselves." But we are to have the mind of Christ that, you know, we're here to serve people. We're here to love people. We're here to show people the love of Christ and to share with them the message of Christ. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." You could go on and read, "Not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Again, Paul encourages the believers here. He exhorts them to unity and to helpfulness. Because again, the devil knows that if he can cause disunity, it will quench the Holy Spirit, whether in a marriage, whether in a church, any relationship. I mean, if he can cause division, then it's going to cause problems. And again, he says, "I beseech you, Herodias, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." Oh, I love that phrase, "in the book of life." That speaks of the Lamb's book of life. It speaks of the book that the names of every person who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ are written, never to be blotted out, never to be erased. I mean, we read in Revelation of the books that were opened, and the one book, the book of life. You've got the book of all the things that we've ever done written down, and yet the other book that has all the names of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and everyone will stand there, and their name will be searched. If their name is there, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." But if their name isn't there, they hear those treacherous words, "I never knew thee. Depart from me, thou that workest iniquity." You think about it again, rejoice while standing. Paul encourages these people. That's why you get to verse number 4. I mean, he's kind of told them, you know, "Stand fast in the Lord. Have unity among yourself. Help one another. Help the ministry. Help the things of God." And he says in verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." We can rejoice in all things because the joy comes from within. It comes from Jesus Christ, who is within every believer. His Spirit is within us. I want you to look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Tonight, I just want to encourage us to continue purposing in our hearts to stand fast in our faith, as the Word of God tells us. Be steadfast in your faith. Stand fast in the Lord. Again, your faith, my faith, it's going to be attacked by the devil. And there's going to be things to try us. things to try to discourage us and to cause us to lose hope or just to even get to the point of not losing hope. But, well, at least my name is in the book of life, so that's good enough. I'm tired of the fight. Because you know what? The spiritual battle gets tiring. I mean, just it wears on you when just the devil wants to pick on you, and it just gets to that point. But I'm glad that we can look to a Savior whose grace is enough. Yeah, we find that in Paul's life. Paul found himself in a moment in his life that he wanted Jesus to do something about what was happening in his life, that thorn in the flesh. But listen, when he heard the words, "My grace is sufficient," that was good enough for Paul. That was a wonderful answer. And you know what? That's all we need is the grace of God to help us. Help us to stand fast in the Lord, to help us to be steadfast in our faith, the grace of God. And we can rejoice in this life because of the victory we have in Christ. Look at Psalm 34 as we think about always rejoicing. And you know what? Among God's people, we should be rejoicing. Like I said before, we should rejoice and really joy in the fact that we get to go to church and see God's people and be among God's people and hear from the Word of God and sing the hymns that we sing. Because you know what? God's given us a great thing. He's given us the blessing. He's given us, I'll say, the privilege of being able to worship Him and to sing praises unto Him. And really, the only thing that will help us to remain steadfast in the Lord and to seek unity and to be helpful is to always rejoice in the Lord. Because you know what? If we stop rejoicing in the Lord, guess what? The opposite of rejoicing is complaining. When you start complaining about things because the focus is wrong. We ought to continue to rejoice in the Lord to help us to remain steadfast in the Lord because, again, the focus is on the Lord. When you're rejoicing in the Lord, that's your focus, the Lord, and it helps us to remain steadfast in the things of God. It helps our minds to be steadfast as well. Again, look at Psalm 34 in verses 1 and 2. The psalmist David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times." You know what? Blessing God for what He's doing in somebody else's life. Again, the devil always wants to try to get in someone's head and cause them to become jealous of what God's doing in someone else's life. And cause them to think, well, I deserve that. And why isn't God doing that for me? Now, God blesses His children, but the devil wants us to not think about and see what God's doing for us. He wants us to become discontent and jealous about what God's doing in someone else's life. But again, if we'll bless the Lord at all times, Lord, thank You for what You're doing in that person's life. Thank You, Father, for what You have done for that person, what You have provided for that person. But also, Lord, what You've done for me and even what You haven't done, Father, because You do everything right. Everything You do for me is right, whether you bless me with something or you don't. It's right, and You're worthy of my praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Again, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's rejoicing in the Lord, because honestly, when we bless the Lord and we thank Him for what He's doing for us, it will cause you and me to rejoice in what He's done, because we'll come to realize, you know what? I don't deserve what He's doing. What I deserve is what He has saved me from, what He has redeemed me from. And it will cause us to rejoice. It will help us to stand fast in the Lord. Look at Psalm 146 in verse number 2. And again, while we're standing fast in the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord, it's a great opportunity to help others that are struggling. Again, it's never for us, and I say us as all God's people, it's never for us to look down at someone who is struggling in their faith,
but it's an opportunity that God wants us to take to encourage that person. Again, when I think about that, I think of Barnabas, who Barnabas, the son of consolation. I mean, he came there, he encouraged Paul, and he befriended Paul and helped the other believers to receive Paul into the fellowship, because he testified on Paul's behalf that, you know what, he's been changed. He has put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then what? Later, he's having to encourage his own nephew, John Mark, because they took him on the first missionary journey, and he kind of left very soon after they departed. And the second missionary journey, Paul did not want him going, and there was a great debate between Barnabas and Paul, and they split ways, Barnabas took John Mark, and they went one direction on their missionary journey, and Silas was recommended by the church, so Paul took Silas with him. What I'm saying is, Barnabas, he wasn't willing to give up on anybody. He was willing to give people a second chance. He was willing to, you know, let people prove themselves. And that's exactly what we need to do as well, is be that Barnabas who comes alongside and helps to encourage. Because again, we don't know what anybody on any given week is facing. But we know the scripture's true when it says, you know what, we all face hardships. We all face difficulties. I think, again, the young people need the older people encouraging them in the Lord. The younger people need it, not just the parents. I mean, the younger people need to see other Christians, you know, encouraging them in the Lord. And that's why we're, Lord willing, we're starting up this youth group again, and we're trying to get that going with the help of Nathan and Crystal. And our desire is that the young people will be helped, and that they will see that, you know what, a strong relationship with Christ will help you to endure the onslaught of society and the onslaught of the devil that he wants to bring into that life. So again, it's all about standing fast in the Lord. I can't help anybody if I don't stand fast in the Lord, and neither can you. I mean, I'm just saying it. We expect our pastor, and I say our pastor, you know, if you're at a different church, again, we expect our pastor to stand fast in the Lord because he's supposed to be leading us. But all of us as Christians, as born-again believers, as the children of God, are to be standing fast in the Lord because there's somebody that God wants you to mentor. There's somebody God wants you to help and to encourage, as Barnabas did to Paul and as Barnabas did to his own nephew, and no doubt many, many others as well. In Psalm 146 and verse number 2, actually, verse number 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. Now, there's coming a day that we will praise the Lord for eternity. Again, I know there's no time in heaven, but I'm going to say every single moment of eternity, we will be praising the Lord. But we should do it every moment of our life now. We should every day praise the Lord. Because again, rejoicing in the Lord and praising the Lord and blessing the Lord will help us to stand fast in the Lord, because our focus is on the Lord, who He is, what He's done for us, and what He is doing in our life. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now, obviously, as Jesus speaks this great discourse, he says, I mean, in the previous verses 3 through 9, or 3 through, even 3 through 11, you know, he just says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful,
Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he says in verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. As he is speaking to the disciples and those that are there listening, he tells them, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He goes on, and then he says, blessed are ye when men revile you, when you're persecuted, when you're talked bad about, when people just say nasty things about you. He says, blessed are ye. Because he says in verse 12, rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Again, what you have in heaven, no one can take from you. The devil wants to try to steal your joy and my joy. He doesn't want us to be rejoicing in the Lord. He doesn't want our hearts to be full of joy. But again, as we stand fast in the Lord and as we see our purpose is to help other people, whether in the church family, outside the church family, our purpose is to help, to love people, to serve people, to minister to people, to share Christ with people. That while we're doing that, even though we're faced with oppositions at times, we can rejoice because God has great blessings in store for us in heaven. We get to experience blessings now. But if we ever find ourselves in a place where, you know what, I just can't find anything to rejoice over right now, then Jesus is saying, well, look up. Look up into heaven. Remember a place I've prepared for you. Remember a place that I'm going to bring you into that we did nothing for, that we did not labor for. And we can rejoice in the fact that we have victory in Christ and he's prepared a place for us in heaven and that there will be great rejoicing. Again, when you look back at Philippians as he writes to these believers, he's telling them something that they need to take to heart. And they were living in a day and age where they were faced with oppositions, they were faced with difficulties, they were faced with persecution. And we're living in a day and age where we're faced with opposition. And we're faced with persecutions in some ways where, again, our freedoms are at stake. Our religious freedom is at stake. Because at every turn of government and different presidents we get, man, we're one pen stroke away of losing all freedoms. But again, our focus should be on the Lord. Our focus should be, you know what? I'm going to stand fast in the Lord. I'm going to allow people to see that, you know what? I have a walk with Christ that's real and genuine, that I guard and that I love. And I'm going to show that by loving and helping other people in the church family, outside the church family. And I'm going to rejoice while doing it. I'm going to let the joy of the Lord flow through me because I want to remain standing. I want to stand fast in the Lord. I want to finish my course. But again, the focus is always the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the focus. And again, I'm glad that we have victory in Christ. I'm glad that his word is true. And I'm glad that he is standing with us and helping us and giving us the grace to continue on. Again, I'm reminded in Scripture, as I look at the life of Paul, as I look at the life of the other disciples, we're met with hardships, and really the hardships that God allows in our life, the difficulties, the spiritual battles, it is for our good. It is to help us to stay on our knees before the Lord. It is to help us to keep a right mind that, you know what, I'm in a spiritual battle. And my weapons are the word of God and prayer. And I want to remain steadfast in the Lord. I want to remain steadfast in my faith. And I want the love of Christ to not only be in my life, but flowing through my life as I try to help other people. Again, you and I are here for a reason, and that is to minister, to serve, to love other people, and help bring them to Christ. That's why we're here. That's why he's left us here. And the devil's going to fight that. He's going to fight it, but we can't allow ourselves to become discouraged. Just continue being faithful. Continue standing fast in the Lord. Continue moving forward, relying on the Lord, trusting the Lord, and asking the Lord to give us the grace to continue moving on and to continue doing what he's called us to do. So we're to pray. Father, we do thank you for your goodness and your grace towards us. I thank you, Father, for the exhortation of your word. And Father, the examples that we can see in Scripture, the faithfulness of men and women. And Lord, how it encourages us that if they can remain steadfast in their faith during the time that they lived in, then certainly we can, because it's not of us, it's not our own strength that we stand fast in the Lord, but it's the grace of God, it's the strength of God, and we can rejoice in the fact that God helps us to even be faithful in the things of God. Father, I ask that you would please bless your people. I ask, Father, you would speak to our hearts through your word. And I ask, Father, that again, all of us with just purpose in our heart to be used of God, to minister and to serve others. As the piano begins to play, give us a few moments alone in prayer.